Would you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word, musicians? Thank you so much. This is really, really interesting week. Today, one of the young people that grew up in our church is getting married. And my wife and I will be attending the wedding. And then Tuesday, a longtime member of our church, last week a longtime member of our church went to heaven, and Tuesday is the memorial service here at 2 o'clock for those in New Gary McKinney and are able to come Tuesday at 2. We'll be doing that. So it's really a week of highs and lows. You celebrate, and then you say goodbye. And my wife and I, we comment that as pastors, and this is something that very unique to pastors, and we talk to other pastors about this, in that in one day, in within a 10-minute segment of church, we go from highs to lows. Someone comes to us and says, "Praise the Lord, guess what? The doctor said there's no cancer. Oh, this is how wonderful." And then we rejoice and hug the person. And then we turn around someone else. "Oh, please pray. My marriage is going horrible. And he just gave me the divorce paper." And so, "Oh, let's pray for them." We turn around and the little kids come and hug your knee. And then you celebrate that. And then you turn around and someone says, I'm battling depression. And within 10 minutes, we've been on a roller coaster ride. But I know that in life, we all face a roller coaster ride. Amen? You have wonderful, you say goodbyes, you say hellos, you have ups and you have downs. Nothing in this life is steady. Nothing in this life is consistent. The only thing that is consistent is God's word, for it is forever settled in heaven. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you're holding on to anything or anyone else, you're going to go cuckoo. It's going to wear you out. So you need to hold on to Jesus Christ, who is consistent, amen? And he will help you navigate through the highs and the lows, to say the goodbyes, say hellos. He will help you with that. Hallelujah. Especially in this life, some of you, you're facing just a roller coaster yourselves, and you're here, you're standing, you're saying, "Lord, Pastor, how long do we have to stand here? I want to sit down already. I'm tired." And that's because you've had a rough week, but I'm telling you, you need to stand on Jesus. The rock of our salvation, stand on Jesus. He is steady. Hallelujah. And then you'll be able to manage these highs and these lows. And not just manage them, God will give you the grace. The grace that you need to go to weddings, to go to funerals, to hold brand new babies, to go to hospitals and visit people in hospitals. He will give you the grace. That's not my sermon, but I wanted to share that with you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. We're reading this morning Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And this is going to be interesting because I'm reading this passage, but my message has nothing to do with this passage. I'm using this to launch into something else. It is connected, but I need to start here to get there. If you have found Luke chapter 4, would you say amen? "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.' Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And then the devil said, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you may add your blessing to the reading and ministry of your word, that you may anoint your servant this morning. Father, you have given me a message for us. Lord, this is a word from you, not a word from Pastor Cortez, but a word from you to our church and to those that may be visiting here today for such a time as this. I pray that your word would just permeate our soul and strengthen us and set us on course. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Before Jesus began his public ministry of about 3.5 years, the Lord led him to the wilderness to prepare himself. Sometimes you have to slow down to speed up. The number 40 always represents a season of completion, a season of changing, a season of transition. Just before that wilderness experience, Jesus had been baptized in water out of obedience, and during that moment that he was baptized, when he came up, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was full of the Holy Spirit, which tells us don't you dare do anything until you have the power of the Holy Spirit. So during this 40 days of the wilderness, Jesus experienced demonic attacks. He experienced demonic attacks while he was preparing himself to start his assignment. Listen carefully. The enemy would try to sabotage you as you prepare to start a ministry. Many times God calls you, and as you begin to prepare for that ministry, that's when the enemy attacks. And then this is when we blow it. Oh, let me back off. Let me reschedule my launch. Let me postpone that which God has called me to do, that I've been preparing myself, because life is so hard. During this 40 days, the devil came and he attacked Jesus, a demonic attack. During this 40 days, he was trying to tempt Jesus to compromise his assignment or to abandon his assignment. And you read it here. And in this scripture, you see the three times he came to Jesus with a temptation. You notice that the first and the second, and you see this in the third time. I didn't read the whole passage because I want to leave you hanging there for a reason. But you see that each time the devil came to attack Jesus, Jesus responded by quoting the word of God. It is written. You got that? It is written. And then something really strange happens when the devil comes in this passage with the third temptation and tells Jesus, Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, trying to play head games, if you're really who you say you are, commit suicide. Throw yourself from the pinnacle of this temple. Throw yourself. Commit suicide. Kill yourself, Jesus. And then the devil does something very interesting. The only time you see this in the Bible, the devil quotes the Bible. He says, for Jesus, it is written. Do you get that? You don't see, if I did my study correctly, if you can fact check me, not doing the service, but afterwards. But I believe this is the only time that you see in the Bible recorded that the devil quotes scripture. In the Garden of Eden, He quoted God. Didn't God say, if you eat? But this is the first time he actually quotes. He memorized scripture. He memorized and quoted scripture. Specifically, what he told Jesus about, doesn't the Bible says the angels will catch you? He was quoting Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. The devil will take scripture and the devil is brazen, he'll take scripture, pull it out of context, spin it around, and throw it back at you to tempt you to do something anti-Christ, anti-God. He knows the Bible very well. But then as I began to study this, I thought, why? Okay, I get it. The devil decided to quote scripture. He memorized the scripture. He quoted it. He threw it back at Jesus' face. For it is written. But why this scripture? Why did the devil pick Psalms 91? Why not 92, 93, Psalms 27? Why not any other scripture? It's interesting because you notice that when he quotes the scripture to Jesus about the angels catching, the devil is an angel. The devil is an angel. The demons are angels that were evicted from heaven when they rebelled against God. One third of the angels were evicted and became demons. Almost like the devil was saying, okay, you think those angels are wonderful. He was making fun of the opposite team. The angels, the ones you kept, the ones that are better than me. They'll catch you. If you jump from the top of the building, they'll catch you. That's what the Bible says. But then the question, why Psalms 91? And as I began to do some research, I discovered something. The Psalms 91, according to Jewish commentators, they have studied the Bible. Psalms 91 specifically has to do with demonic attacks. When you read Psalms 91, especially beginning from verse 3 on, it describes multiple ways that the enemy attacks us, demonic attacks. It is not just talking about hardships in life. It's talking about when the enemy comes and gets us like a flash flood. And Psalms 91 not only describes demonic attacks, but Psalms 91 provides us with a prescription how to do battle, what to do when the enemy attacks us. So the enemy knew that Psalms 91 is dangerous. It exposes what he does. Psalms 91 provides us with a prescription of what to do. So he takes it, rather than try to hide it, he takes it and mocks it, makes fun of it, so that we disregard it. See, when you read Psalms 91 and read it later on today, it describes demonic attacks. For instance, in verse 3, Psalms 91 says, "Surely God shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler." The word deliver is a spiritual word. He will rescue you from the snare of the fowler. A fowler is a trapper, someone that traps birds. The enemy wants to trap you, and sometimes he does trap you, and God will deliver you. In verse 5 and part of verse 6, it says, "You shall not be afraid of what? Of the terror by night." The enemy is a terrorist. He comes especially at nighttime. When you're in bed all alone, it's quiet, and he brings terror thoughts and fears to your mind and to your heart. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. An arrow that flies by day that is targeting you has been aimed and shot at you, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. When does pestilence walk? The word walk is also described as stalk, the pestilence that stalks you. The enemy comes and he stalks you. He hunts you down. The pestilence that stalks you. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking, stalking whom he can devour. So you see, Psalms 91 describes the different demonic attacks that the enemy launches against us. So the devil knows that this psalm is the prescription of what to do when we are viciously attacked by the gates of hell. So rather than try to keep us away from Psalms 91, he mocks and laughs at it as a deterrent. He threw it at Jesus so that Jesus can just ignore it and say, I'll do opposite. I'll throw myself from this building and have the angels catch me. Take that scripture and twists it and tries to, if the devil cannot destroy the scripture, he'll try to distort it. He cannot destroy the word of God. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. He cannot destroy the word of God. You get it? He cannot destroy it. So what does he do? He will try to keep you away from it. But if he can't keep you away from it, he'll draw you to it, but he'll twist it. That's what cults do all the time. You take something out of context and twist it. If he can't explode it, he'll distort it. And he'll take you when you're going through a difficult time, and he'll mock you with the scripture, and he'll say, oh, you're being super spiritual now. You're opening up the Bible. You're reading into this crisis too much. Right now, oh, Pastor Cortez, don't listen to him. So you really believe there's a demon under every rock and behind every tree? I mean, this is just life. Stuff happens. Are you being super spiritual? The word of God is there to make you feel good, but it's not a prescription against demonic attacks. Hey, this is the real world. Don't be hyper spiritual, hypersensitive. Don't overreact. You're always talking about the Bible, always reading, quoting the Bible. And what happens is we fall into that, we put the Bible aside. Let me just Google answers. Hey, listen, when you go through difficult times, especially those of you that have medical challenges, listen to me. This is something I learned from my wife, who's a nurse, and those of you medical people, you will agree with this. Stop Googling. Oh, I have a pain on my side, and you Google. And then you stay home because you Google everything. Everyone has, it could be this, it could be that, it could really be this. And you say, well, I have that symptom. And then you self-destruct. Can I hear an amen? I mean, find a good doctor, trust your doctor, but stop Googling. Instead of Googling, read the Word of God. Hallelujah. So here's what I'm trying to get for you to understand. Anything, or anyone that tries to keep you from fulfilling your spiritual assignment or wants to cause you to twist it and modify your assignment to do something else, it is of satanic origin. The word Satan means adversary. So whenever you're trying to serve God and do something right in your marriage, with your kids, in church, in your ministry, whatever it is, and something or someone is trying to keep you away from doing what God has called you to do, it is satanically influenced and or controlled. That's why in one of these temptations, when the enemy came and tried to deter Jesus from launching his ministry, what did Jesus say to him? Satan, get ye behind me. Right? Then later on, we know the story later on, when Peter, one of his disciples, one of his favorite three, was telling Jesus, I'm not going to let you hang in no cross. I'm going to watch your back. I'm going to protect you. I'm your bodyguard. I'm not going to let you hang on no cross. What did Jesus tell him? Get ye behind me, Satan. Was he saying that Peter became satanic? No. Peter was being played. He was being manipulated by a force that he didn't realize, trying to prevent Jesus from his assignment. From his assignment. Psalms 91. The first two verses of Psalms 91. The scripture, the Psalms that the enemy tries to twist and get us to ignore. Psalms 91, the opening two verses tell us what to do when the devil is relentlessly attacking us from air, sea, and land. When the enemy comes and there's bomb after bomb in your own front yard and you are doubting survival, he's attacking you from all over and you're thinking, I'm not going to survive this. This Psalms that tells you about demonic attacks, the first two verses tells you what to do. And what it tells you is focus on who God is rather than what is happening around you. It tells you not to run and hide, but run to Him and hide. Run to Him and hide. And hide in Him. And don't try to be a war hero. Don't try to go toe-to-toe with the devil. You hide in Christ. That's what it's telling you. See, what happens when the enemy attacks us, we either succumb and we jump off the pinnacle, or we try to go toe-to-toe, like one of those martial artists. I cut my hair yesterday, and I go to Sports Clips, and they usually have basketball. And they had the, what do you call that, FIFA, whatever, where they fight, it's boxing, and they kick, and they and I was watching, and they have the TV screen in front of every, and it was like bloody. They were kicking, they were drop kicking and roundhouse and drop kick and elbow and scratching like animals. And there was blood, and after one inning, the guy that the commentator was saying, you see why fighter number two, he has his mouth open. His jaw is broken. He can't close. I go, oh, pull. I'm trying to look away. And then my person cutting my hair said, look straight ahead. I said, but I don't want to see the guy whose jaw is dropping. The more I got older, the more wimpy I got. I said, I can't handle this. And I was thinking of sending an email saying, you know, there's children in there. Really, for me, there's adults that can't handle that. See, what happens when the enemy attacks us, we either want to flee or we want to go toe-to-toe with the enemy. And you have no business going toe-to-toe. He is the warrior. God is the warrior. Jesus is the commander of the army. You hide behind Him. Let Him fight your battles. Let Him fight your battles. So Psalms 91, the first two verses tells you what to do. Verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Stop. Three words. He who dwells. Dwell means to exhale. Dwell means to abide. Dwell means to make yourself at home. He who dwells in the secret place. The word secret place is also translated shelter. So those of you who come from other parts of the country where they have bomb shelter, hurricane shelters. If you're from Oklahoma or Kansas, many of those people have, they have storm shelters. Where if the storm comes and you may go to the house and never have noticed that door. But they know what that door is. That's a shelter. And it's a secret place, secret to everybody else because you don't know about it. Not because they're trying to keep you from it. It's because you are ignorant. But God does not want you to be ignorant of shelters. Of bomb shelters. And God has, when in life, He loves you so much, He has signs all throughout your life. Shelter. 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 You probably drive by multiple signs here in Katy that says shelter in case it's another hurricane. Shelter. You don't even notice it. It's a secret to you because you're not paying attention to the Word. The Word of God tells us He is the secret place. He is the shelter. So what do? Make sure you know where they are. So when the enemy comes, you know where to go. Every time I see that word shelter, I remember when I first moved to Texas. It was a big change. So I was, you know, you've heard the story. I lived in Tyler, Texas, where you guys are from. Our minister, administration, his wife from the area. So I was living in Tyler, and they told me, here in Texas, this is not like New York City. Here there's tornado warnings and watches and warnings. One is worse than the other. And I remember thinking, which one is, I forget. And if you hear, hide, find a shelter. And I remember I was living in Tyler. I had just moved into an apartment there on South Broadway. And suddenly the TV and the radio, tornado. And it was tornado warning. And I'm thinking, which is the worst one? Watch or warning? And it was a warning. And people had told me, be careful here in Texas, because when the wind goes, things fly and pencils fly through the air and go right through trees. And I'm thinking, I'm going to die by number two pencil here in Texas. I survived the D train, the B train in New York City. I'm going to die by a pencil. And they tell, go to find the deepest side of your apartment, your home, a bathroom or something, and hide in there. And just pray to God that those pencils don't kill you. And I remember hiding in my closet. A shelter. So I'm very cognizant. I'm very, here in Texas, I've learned when I go to a new neighborhood, I'm looking, where those shelter signs? Where those shelter signs? He who dwells in the shelter, the secret place of the Most High. Now, that phrase, Most High, is interesting. Most High means Most High. It means no one is higher than God. Nothing, no demon, no principality, no attack can go as high as God. He's the top, baby. He's the top. And you go to the top, straight to the top. He's the Most High. Those demonic attacks are real. But you go to the top. He who dwells in the shelter, secret place of the Most High, shall abide. Shall abide. Abide means to rest. Abide means you don't have to hold your breath anymore. Abide means you're going to exhale. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. The shadow speaks of God's presence, God's protection. It speaks of an intimate time when God is, He's over you. He's under the shadow. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the ALL space mighty. That's what it means. Almighty. And I began to study that. The word Almighty, yes, it means God has muscles you don't even know He has. It does mean power and authority. But it also speaks about resources. Unlimited resources. Almighty God. Unlimited resources. Unlimited power and authority. A nation is almighty by this war machine. Your resources. God is saying, whatever you need, I've got. Whatever you need during the difficult time, I've got. I got weapons of warfare that you can't even imagine. Whatever weapons you need, I have it there and you have access to it. I am Almighty God. he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Give him praise, somebody. And then, after verse 1, the psalmist concludes. He begins to testify. He begins to testify there. He begins to testify in the bomb shelter. He's in a bomb shelter there under the shadow of God. He begins to testify and he says, and I will say, and I will proclaim, and I will testify. Brother Cortez, do you have popcorn testimonies like old time Pentecostal churches do where people can stand up and share popcorn testimony? Because I'm about to pop and I have a popcorn testimony and I will say of the Lord, he is my God. He is my refuge. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. I want you to notice something. Notice something. Look at verse 2. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. My. See, when you're in a secret place, you start saying, my. He's my God. He's my God. This is personal now. This is personal now. This is personal now. He says, he is my refuge. He is my refuge, a place of escape, my refuge. But this is interesting. The word refuge in the Hebrew is also translated as trust. He is my trust. You're going through hell on earth. You're going through a difficult time and you don't know who to trust. You don't know who to talk to. You don't know who to share these needs with. You have people that never talk to you in church. Now they know you're going through a difficult time. Suddenly they get spiritual on you. Oh, brother, I hear you're going through a difficult time. Please share. And you get, I don't think so. I'm not the only one. You know, people that don't care, they're not there praying for you. But then when you go through a difficult time, they want the details. And you're not sure. I don't know who to trust. God, I'm going through a difficult time. I don't know who to trust. Did I answer that text? Did I answer that email? Did I talk to that person? I don't know who I can trust. But the Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say, my Lord, he is my refuge. I can trust you. I can trust you. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. See, folks, you could always call on Jesus. How many of you remember that old song, Jesus on the main line? Tell him what you want. Some of you don't even know what that means. Some of you kids, everything is quick on the phone. But there was a time that some people older than me, a phone was a luxury. And if you got a phone, it was a process. You got a phone. It was a party line. Your phone was connected to about several other phones. And you had to listen to it and say, sister such and such in apartment 4B is on the phone. Better hang up. And you had to pick it up. Oh, Mr. such and such in apartment 1C is on the phone. Let me hang up. Oh, no one's there. Let me dial. It was a party line. And the thing about those party lines, you can always pick it up and listen and see what other people are saying. Talking about secure network, huh? So during that time, someone wrote a song. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. He's always there and accessible. You can trust him. You can trust him. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My second my and my fortress. Well,
a fortress is a place of protection. You know, the fortress, a place of protection. It's usually huge and thick walls. You hide there from the attack of the enemy. When I was small, we have a couple of people in our church that they're also from the island that my parents are from. And I was born in New York, but I lived there in Puerto Rico. And there's a fortress in old San Juan. And it was built, I don't know, like 1400, 1500, 1600, something like that. It's an old fortress. It's called El Morro. And it's there at the peak and there at the bay. And it was built by the Spanish conquerors, by Spain. And there, it was there so that when the enemies came to try to attack the island, you could hide in that fortress. Thick old walls. Hide there and defend yourself. A fortress is not just a place for you to retreat to. Here's the best part. A fortress is the place for you to do battle from. Oh, some of you didn't get it. It's not just a place for you to hide and retreat from. It's a place you do battle from. Why? Because that fortress you could do battle against the enemy as he comes close. And in that fortress, inside that fortress, it is filled with weapons of your warfare. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Those weapons are inside the fortress. Whatever weapon you need to fight the enemy is inside the fortress. Jesus is our fortress. Everything you need is in the fortress. Everything. And not only are the weapons of your warfare inside the fortress, in the fortress there with you is the Holy Spirit. Why is that important? Because the Holy Spirit will teach you how to use those spiritual gifts. He will teach you how to use those weapons of warfare. He'll teach you how to aim, shoot, and fire. He'll teach you how to hold that machine gun, the spiritual machine gun. He'll teach you how to use all those things. And suddenly you become a skilled warrior. He'll teach you how to put on the armor of God. He'll teach you how to use the shield. He'll teach you how to use the sword of his word. He'll teach you how to put on the helmet of salvation. He'll teach you how to shod your feet. He'll teach you in that fortress. Musicians, would you come? And I will say verse 2 of the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him would I trust. So, my refuge speaks about trust. My fortress speaks about God's protection and provision. And the phrase, my God, it speaks about God's intimacy. God's intimacy. God there close to you. God embracing you. God holding you up. God speaking words of comfort. You're my God. It's the difference between saying you're the God, but now it's you're my God. You see, folks, sometimes your most intimate times with God happens during your worst moments in life. Sometimes your most intimate times with God happens when the enemy is throwing left and right and round kicks and he bombs after bomb in your backyard and your front yard, demonic attacks. Sometimes God's most intimate times with you is when you retreat in him, and you get really close to Jesus. Suddenly you sense his presence. You sense his heartbeat. You hear his whispers. And you realize, I'm okay. I have the peace that passes all understanding. I have never been this close to Jesus. I know I should be on pills right now. I get it. But I'm not on pills. I'm in Jesus. I have a peace. I'm making decisions left and right. Every morning I wake up, there's a list of things I have to do that I wasn't expecting. And I don't know how I did it. I know there was a time in my life recently that I was facing all kinds of stuff, all kinds of situation, all kinds of loose ends, all kinds of drama, all kinds of unexpected surprises. And I would just go to sleep saying, Lord, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I could do this. Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need you. Lord, I don't know who to call. What do I do? And the Lord, during that time, I was such close to Jesus, the intimate time with Jesus, that the Lord helped me every day when I got my unexpected list of to-do. He gave me every day what to do quickly, 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 quickly. I was like in a batting cage, hitting the balls quickly, quickly, quickly. And it was not stressful at all. It was the peace of God that passes all understanding. It was just the intimacy with God. I was so close in the intimate time with God, more than I've ever experienced. And I said, Lord, I can't believe this. I feel like I'm in a dream. You're helping me. I feel like in the Bible, those apostles that you deliver out of prison and you open this door, you open that door, and they just follow you, and they thought they were dreaming. I feel like I'm dreaming. It's when you experience, my God, I am your God. Folks, I want you to know not my God, Cortez's God, but I want him to be your God. See, God's desire is for you to be able to say, my. He's my refuge and my fortress. My God, would you stand this morning? Hallelujah. My God. In the Old Testament, there was a prophecy in the Old Testament prophesying of Jesus who would come. And when the angel came in the New Testament to proclaim the arrival of this baby, the angel quoted the scripture. See, the Bible has no secrets. The Bible is filled with God speaking to us. You want to know God's will? You don't have to go to the psychic there in Old Katy. If I drive by and I see your car, I'm not from here, but if I drive by and I see your car outside the psychic there in Old Katy, I'm going to go in there. How many of you had that type of pastor, old school pastor? I'm going to pull you by your neck. I'm going to give a Pentecostal slap. What are you doing? It's a little like single wide mobile home that she could afford this billboard. One time I drove by and I saw her car there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she takes Bible verses, twists them, and tells people what they want to do. How did I get there? I want you to go to the Word of God, not to a person, not to a psychic. You want to know what God's will is for your life? It's in the Word. You want to know who you should marry? Don't join those membership stuff on online. The Bible tells you what kind of person He wants you to marry. You want to know God's will about everything? How to raise your kids? What kind of job? The Word of God is always speaking to you. And you don't have to drop a $20 bill in a slot every time you hear a word. So God, in the Bible, talked about Emmanuel, God with us. In the New Testament, the angel comes and says, unto you a child shall be born. And it says, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Which is translated, God with us. You see, my is found in Christ Jesus. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him would I trust. And you shall call his name Emmanuel. God, not just God with you, or this is the best part, but God in you. In you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Before I let you go, oh, I got to do this. If you're not right with Jesus Christ, he has not been my. And he's inviting you to get personal. He wants to get deep and personal. He doesn't like this formal stuff. He likes the informality. He wants to be personal. He doesn't shake hands. He hugs. He embraces. And he wants a personal relationship with you. And this morning you're saying, Pastor Cortez, I want him to be my God. If that's you, would you raise your hand quickly? Amen. I saw that hand. Someone who's rededicating their life with the Lord. You're saying, Pastor Cortez, oh my goodness, I have been facing demonic attacks, sneaky ones, crazy ones, some that I have never experienced in my life. And I needed to be reminded this morning that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I needed to be reminded of the my God. He's my God. He loves me. And he's there for me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. In him would I trust. Pastor Cortez, that was for me. Can you join me in prayer that I would just embrace that scripture and practice it? That it may not just be something wonderful that motivated me this morning, but something that I practice. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. If you raise your hand, would you allow us to pray with you real quick? If you raise your hand, would you step into the aisles, come to the front? There's something about coming together. Something about, hey, I'm not doing this by myself. The body of Christ. Come on. Yes, yes, yes. Just come stand here towards the middle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, when you do this and you come, anyone else, just come. You're saying, I'm not going to do this by myself. Because the enemy you know what the enemy tries to do? He tries to get you to believe not to do it solo. And you don't have to do this by yourself. We have the body of Christ. Listen, we're not perfect, but we serve the perfect one. We serve the perfect one. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm going to invite altar workers just enough to come. I want one altar worker in front of each person here. We have mostly ladies here right now. So altar workers, would you come? Just stand in front of each one, men with men, women with women. Hallelujah. Would you, the rest of you, would you just not be spectators, but rather just help us pray? Would you extend a hand this morning? Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Lord, we live in a world that is not perfect. We live in a broken world with constant spiritual battles, demonic attacks. Father, we realize that these demonic attacks will happen when we go to heaven. But until then, Lord, we deal in the real world. The real world is a spiritual world.
Lord, we're not being mystical or spooky. We're being real. This is some of the stuff we're facing, Lord. It's spiritual. And Father, we know that your word says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Lord, we do not fight the devil with earthly weapons, but we fight the enemy with spiritual weapons in Christ Jesus. We fight the enemy in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our refuge and our fortress. We are in Christ. We remain in Christ. When the enemy attacks us, we go deeper in Christ. We go deeper in his word. Oh God, victory shall be ours if we hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battle. So Lord, you know what each person here is going through. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch them. Holy Spirit, touch them. Holy Spirit, touch them. Holy Spirit, pour upon them. Give them a fresh infilling. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill them with the Holy Spirit again and again and again. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close in a moment, but let me end where I started from. I started from Luke chapter 4, the story of Jesus in the wilderness, facing relentless demonic attacks. And every time the devil came to Jesus with words, that's how the enemy works, mostly with words. If the enemy can get inside your head, he's won. He tries to get inside your head with lies, half lies, taking scripture out of context. But I want you to notice something, that the response that Jesus had those three times that the enemy attacked Jesus replied with, "It is written. It is written. It is written." So this morning you heard me preach. We sang wonderful songs. I love that song, Raising Hallelujah. But more important than quoting Pastor Cortez's sermon, more important than quoting your favorite worship song, is you standing and quoting the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. You haven't memorized a lot of Bible verses. Take your Bible, read it. Read it out loud. Get the Bible app. Have the man in the Bible read it for you when you're driving. Use your Bluetooth in your car. Listen to the Word of God. Then you can listen to KSBJ. But listen to the Word of God first. Listen to what he has to say. Memorize the Word of God. Quote the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. He quoted the Word of God. He quoted the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. The Holy Spirit is still working here. It's just the Holy Spirit working in the life of someone. That's all it is. Holy Spirit working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to rush the Holy Spirit, you know. The Holy Spirit is giving me a yellow light. Hallelujah. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God. The peace of God. Hallelujah. They tell me that a space shuttle or an airplane, when it goes from one level to another level, there's turbulence.
And sometimes when we go from one level to another level, there's turbulence. And when we go from a unpeaceful realm to a peaceful realm, there's turbulence. But the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind, your blood pressure and your sanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we pray right now that your will be done. Father, we thank you that you are constantly working in control. Father, I pray that you would touch the lives that need to be touched right now. That you would touch our hearts, our minds, our spirits. In Jesus' name. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray a blessing upon each person here today. Lord, I pray that this scripture, this word will just resonate this entire week as we do spiritual battle. Father, thank you that we don't tiptoe around the enemy, but we walk in the authority that's in Christ. And Lord, you learn to tiptoe around us because of the Christ in us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen and amen. God bless you. Love one another. We'll see you in church Wednesday night. God bless you. Amen.